You're listening to Around the Northwest, and on Tuesdays over the last year, you'll have become familiar with Irish to Protect, our environmental piece, which was presented by Donna Marie Doherty. Well, it's come to an end, and here, as sort of by way of a wrap up, really, let's look back over some of the pieces that we've included over the last 12 months, and also to look forward to the future, because that's really what it's all about. It's about protecting our environment for the future. Donna Marie Doherty herself is here.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, Donna. And also we have Eddie Bradley, Climate Ambassador with Antashka and Bee Leader with Bee Corps. We'll get to what exactly that means in a second, Eddie. And there's Miranda Rosenberg. You may know her from TikTok and other socials as well. Homestead Donegal. Miranda.
Hello.
And Anne-Louise McClintock, who's PRO for Letterkenny Tidy Towns. A familiar face indeed. Move that in towards you a little bit there, Anne-Louise. You're all welcome anyhow.
Thank you.
Okay. So I suppose start with you, Donna Marie. The last 12 months, it's been an education, and no doubt for you as well. I mean, have you any idea when you're going on the journey, what is out there, just the efforts being made, what's being done, and I suppose what needs to be done.
I didn't realise how many passionate people there was in Donegal, which I suppose is a bit... It's not surprising.
Passionate about the environment,
exactly. There's so many different organisations that are up and running, and there's so many little things that you can be doing, which is, I've learned so much. The biggest thing I've done, which if you had said this to me last year, I'd be like, no, I deleted all of my shopping apps off my phone.
Okay.
Which isn't a big thing.
Big thing for you, bud.
Big thing for me.
Yeah.
It was like every week.
Well, isn't it a collection of small things? I mean, you're chatting there, but just something simple like deleting shopping apps and then not putting them back on again, I presume.
Yes.
but we can all do small things. And in a way, it was a collection of small things weekly.
Yeah.
That you featured, but put them all together and...
It's massive.
Yeah.
Put them all together and it's absolutely massive. And that's what the whole thing's about. And these three guys... like are just exemplify that in areas of business, community and at the home. There's so much small things that are easy to do.
Eddie, let's find out, I suppose, first of all, B Corps?
Yeah, you got it dead on there. Yeah.
Okay.
So the B Corps is a global certification system for sustainability. So it's not just environmental, it also looks at businesses' impact on the community as well, the employees and the wider supply chain. So what it does is it allows companies to go on. There's a free tool and any company can use it, and it will rate your performance and give you recommendations on how to improve. And if you follow through on the recommendations, there's the opportunity to become a B Corp business, which means you can use the logo and you become part of a community of 10,000 businesses around the world that have a verified sustainability performance.
So it's like an accreditation.
Exactly, yeah. But I just want to stress the point that any business can use it. If you just Google B Impact Assessment, you can go on there and you can use the tool and you can see what you're doing well and how you can improve, so you can start to take concrete steps straight away.
So by filling this in or by participating, you can find out what you're doing well and what you're not doing so well, and you know the steps that you can also take.
Exactly, yeah. A lot of businesses that talk to me, they're just not that sure about the first steps, and often they don't see the wider scope of sustainability. So it's not just about your environmental performance, but it's also about the impact that you might have on your employees and the things that you're doing in the community. So often there's businesses that are doing fantastic work, but they're just not realizing that it's part of their sustainability performance. So it's looking at what they're doing well and how they can improve and the steps in order to move the business forward for sustainability.
I often think that the way forward is to educate children and has been and should be. But I suppose if you're doing it in your business, in a way you're educating your employees as well, because employees will say, well, you know, at work this is the way they do it, so why can't we do it like this at home?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have to make a massive change in terms of sustainability if the planet's going to be around and a place that we want to live for our kids and our grandkids. So that means everyone has an input, and that means it's not just that the business is showing leadership, but it's also listening to the employees, because lots of employees want to work in a business which is truly sustainable. Listening to the customers, what they want, that they want to be able to see that a business is performing sustainably, and just being part of a wider community of different businesses and different community groups working together in order to drive the sustainability agenda.
Is it becoming more important for businesses, not just to do the right thing, but to be seen to do the right thing? As potential customers, are we making more conscious decisions about what businesses we choose and looking out for a plaque or accreditation or 5 stars, 5 green stars or whatever it is?
Absolutely. Consumers are certainly driving pressure, and the pressure is coming from governments as well, with new legislation that's coming in on businesses. I think the crucial thing with the B Corp is that there's a lot of claims made about sustainability, and that can often put consumers off and could confuse them whenever a company makes a claim about sustainability which isn't actually followed through on, or they're ignoring another part of their business, which is, you know, say a business which is polluting, but they say they recycle paper, for example, is a great example of saying that you're being sustainable, but not actually all of the business is performing in a sustainable way. So with the B Corp and other recognised certifications, then consumers can have trust that when they're making that purchase and they're making that decision, it actually is a sustainable business and their decision will have an impact.
And Louise, you would have come across what we've just been chatting about as well around the time, because you're heavily involved with Letterkenny Tidy Towns, and I know it's a group that's done stringent work in recent years in particular. But even going way back, and I'm thinking about back to the time of the late Jim McCormick and green schools, and he was a great advocate for it. So it's only increased in the years since.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose sustainability is a huge part of the Tidy Towns application, and it's a huge part of what we're about now, you know. And I suppose for us, it's really about, we always say, I want to teach, not necessarily preach about it. But so we introduced the Power of One campaign just last year, last October. And really it was just to demonstrate to everyone how they could make small changes. And it's, you know, it's what Donna Marie was talking about, and yourself, like, it's about making these small changes and just teaching people and educating them and on these changes, you know. And I suppose for Tidy Towns then, you know, we held a lot of events over the last 6 months to do with sustainability, you know, how to green your wardrobe, building bird boxes, which you can see in Santry Hill now. They're actually up on the trees, you know. So we cover a lot of different areas. But for the public, we just wanted to, you know, have the video and sort of show what they can do. It could be volunteering. It could be just using a water bottle each day and not buying the plastic.
Very simple things.
Very simple things. And sometimes, you know, it gets a bit overwhelming, the whole sustainability word. So what we were about was teaching them and just, you know, sharing things on our social media, very easy things, you know, and making, helping them understand.
And you found that social media is a great platform for sharing and for educating and for creating a community.
Yeah. We've over 3,000 followers on our Tidy Towns Facebook. So, you know, it's growing constantly. And, you know, we have other Tidy Town groups sharing our content and stuff as well. So, you know, that is something that we plan to continue now over the next year, just to add more things to our social media, you know. And just, like, for example, the World Bee Day was back in May, and people are like, what is this? What does this difference make? And you have no mow May and stuff like that there, and why would I not cut my grass, you know? So it's about, you know, helping people understand why we do this and encouraging it, you know, as well.
And it's about reinforcing these messages, because Angus was on here, Angus Kennedy from Nature Northwest was on here a few weeks back, and we were discussing about No Mow May and chatting about it and over and back, and I was thinking, why can't I do that?
Yeah,
big enough lawn to give up a corner to nature. So I started doing it, and I'm just hoping and praying now that a few flowers will come up and people won't be thinking, oh, he's only got half a lawn. What has he had there?
Yeah.
But it is. It's just a collection of small things that we can all do.
And you can continue that during the summer. I think that's that's what they're doing. You know, even though it's just May, they advertise. Mm. But, you know, just have that small patch in your garden and just let it grow. And it's actually interesting to see, you know, what has happened as well in this patch.
We'll be keeping an eye on it. I've been trying to work out how can I plant some flowers that'll come up, because I've never planted a thing of any much meaning in my life. So I'll be leaning on you afterwards to get a few hints there. Miranda, we were just chatting there about social media. Well, no better woman than yourself, because you're huge on social media, and it's a great place for, you know, building your platform and for forming a community. And you've found that in recent years.
Yeah, I have. I have this absolute passion for sustainability, and I thought if I could demonstrate these very simple practices for people, show them that they're easily implementable, that they can slip into their lifestyles and protect their wallet, then perhaps people would be inspired to do more sustainability things.
Yeah, because, you know, we shouldn't think that any of these measures will cost us money, and they'll save us money. And also, you know, ultimately hopefully save the planet. That's the whole idea.
Yes, and slip into your lifestyle. Yeah. Because I do believe that I teach sustainability classes, composting, soap making, a variety of things. And some of the feedback that I get is that people think, oh, if I do sustainability things, then it's going to be a hardship. It's going to be inconvenient. This is a burden that I have to carry in order to help the environment. It doesn't have to be that way.
No.
I've designed my life so that my wallet is protected, my life is easier, convenience is there, and I still get to help the planet.
Although, in some instances, it can cost a little extra, because I'm buying soap now from a company here in Donegal that make sustainable soap products. And I've started buying toilet roll and getting it delivered in a month in a big brute of a box. Who gives a crap?
I love that product.
Well, yeah,
it's fantastic.
It is, but you know, they cost a little bit extra. But you know, there is the feel good factor, because you just know you're doing the right thing. So I'm happy to do it. But you know, a lot of the practices that you preach,
they're free.
Yeah,
the practices I teach are either free or going to save you money. So, for instance, I'm a huge advocate for urban resources. Products that are waste products for businesses, but can be utilized and repurposed by consumers. So when I want weed matting for my homestead, I go and get the cardboard that's behind the furniture store. And that is my weed matting. It breaks down, it suppresses the weeds, and I pay nothing for that. Or when I need mulch for my garden, there's a local timber yard. They process trees for logs and things. Mm-hmm. And they have to strip those trees of their bark. And that bark is sitting there in a pile, this massive pile. They give that away for free. So that's how I mulch my garden.
So it's just about knowing what to do, knowing what to look for. And it's about a circular economy too.
It is about changing your perspective
and
not engaging so much in consumerism. Now, I'm not completely anti-consumerism. Like, I like to shop. But if you change your perspective and think, well, what are alternative ways I can obtain these products? It's a lot easier to find things that will fit into your budget and allow you to be more sustainable.
Mm. It's about the old argument about you're a vegetarian. Oh, well, how come you're wearing leather shoes? I mean, you know, you can't be 100% environmentally friendly and vegan and all the rest of it. But if we're all doing a wee bit.
Yes, absolutely. If we're all doing just a bit. Then collectively, we can have a huge impact.
It's about a mindset, isn't it?
It absolutely is a mindset. And I'll tell you what my favorite thing is, because I keep mentioning my wallet. I'm miserly with my money. I like to have my money in my pockets.
No, you don't like waste. That's what
I don't. I hate waste.
Money.
Exactly. So I am a huge fan of shopping the yellow stickers, the reduced items in the grocery store, and then stretching that food out as much as I possibly can. Like, I went to the shop the other day, and I got two bags of lemons. They were on discount, so I paid like maybe $1.50 for these two bags of lemons. I was able to brine chicken. I was able to make a little bit of lemon oleo, because I'm partial to a cocktail. I was able to make jam, syrup, and season some cottage cheese, all from those lemons.
Not to mention all the cleaning products that you could have added the lemon juice to. Lemons are, they're a wonder fruit, aren't they?
They're fantastic. But I did the same thing with lamb chops. four packages of lamb chops. They were on discount, €3 each. I looked at them. I broke it down into their component parts. So I separated out the bones, used those to make bone broth. I separated out the fat. I used that to render down the tallow. I cooked the little medallions. And then there's the little strips of meat that are stuck in the fat. I saved that for stir fries.
Wow. That's taken it to a new level. We're going to talk some more, but we do have to take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to Ours to Protect on Highland Radio, presented by Donna Marie Doherty, every Tuesday at 12:30.
Get with the best. Virgin Media, Ireland's best broadband with full fibre and speeds of 2 gig, is now available in Donegal. Check your area on virginmedia.ie. It's playtime. Virgin Media, sponsors of Around the Northwest.
Sé de híne lona vótála sa tááin orpacha, sa tááin áitúla, agus sa tááin féidir limonaí. Den cinnte go bhfuil tú ré le vóta a chaamh. Beg na stáisiún vótála ar oscailte idir 6 lagar maidin agus a 10 lagar stíthe. Agus náidin darúd a de chruthúnas aithandis. Sé de vóta dá rá. Cá vóta de híne. Ón gcomisiún tááin. Comisiún neamhspleách tááin na héireann.
Get the wind working for you with Ireland's very best fixed-rate energy plan. Switch to SSE Airtricity today and save up to €760 off your electricity and gas. Get the same rate for 12 months and enjoy certainty, peace of mind and fantastic savings. All while using greener, cleaner energy. Switching to Ireland's best fixed-rate plan is easy. Simply go to sseairtricity.com. SSE Airtricity. This is Generation Green. EAB €2,458. Rates valid from the 1st to the 2nd, 2024. For T's and C's, tariff, standing charges and exit fees, see sseairtricity.com/save760.
It's the Kerrykill Vintage Rally this Saturday, 8th of June. Enjoy stationary engines, cars and tractors, crafts, live music, children's amusements, a petting zoo with alpacas and a juggling duo. That's the Kerrykill Vintage Rally at the church grounds this Saturday from 12 noon. This ad is sponsored by Wurski's Eurospar and Ice Cream Parlour Rumelton.
House to Home Bridge End, Donegal. Our modest front door opens onto two floors of Irish-made furniture, suites, beds, mattresses, dining and occasional furniture. Step into our showroom and see how we can transform your house into a home. House to Home Furniture, Flooring, Slide Robes and Interiors, Bridge End, Donegal.
Highland Radio weather updates brought to you by McElhinney's. With over 50 years of serving the community in Donegal, McElhinney's is proud to be part of every moment, big and small. Support local, shop McElhinney's Bally Buffet.
The weather forecast, well, scattered showers clearing as the day goes on with some sunshine breaking through. A few of the scattered showers heavy at times, and it's going to feel cooler today as westerly winds veer northwesterly. Tonight, clear spells and again some scattered showers, and a cool night for early summer. Lowest temperatures 3 to 7 degrees.
Music, stories, news bits and interviews every weekday from 12. This is Around the Northwest with John Breslin.
You're listening to Ours to Protect on Highland Radio, presented by Donna Marie Doherty, every Tuesday at 12:30.
Ours to Protect is funded by Commissioner Mann with a television licence fee and is a partnership between Highland Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
And we're live in studio with Eddie Bradley, Climate Ambassador with Antashka, and B Leader with B Corps. There's Miranda Rosenberg of at Homestead Donegal on TikTok, and Anne Louise McClintock, who's PRO for Letterkenny Tidy Towns, and also a presenter of Ours to Protect, Donna Marie Doherty. As an overview, I suppose, of what's happening, what needs to happen going forward. If we were to look at the scale of the problem, I suppose we'd be overwhelmed by it. But the key is to break it down into small bits, into bite-sized bits, into what we can all do, or what collectively we can do as a community. And that's pretty much where you guys come in. Because the big picture, just in the last day alone, for instance, it looks like the country is going to miss out on our emissions reduction targets by a long way, and we're going to, like, we want to reduce our total greenhouse gas emissions by 29. This is the goal, by 29% up to 2030, whereas it's supposed to be 51%. But then the minute, you know, whether it's an activist or a politician or whatever, starts talking about and starts sounding a wee bit preachy about whether it's transport or whether it's farming or whether it's, you know, data centres, you know, they're dumped on from a high. But and this is just about our emissions target, and there's so much more to it than that. And it's, we all have to take it more seriously. That's, you know, otherwise we're screwed, if you'll excuse the expression. So, and I was also looking at some data there about how we measure up to other countries in Europe, and we're way behind. I think we're just maybe just a wee bit later to the table than others. Agreed?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's the kind of thing people can feel a bit sort of set in their ways, but if you look back to the way that things were done, even like the milk bottles, things like that, it's like if you go back to what was the way, it nearly is the way forward. So it is, but it can be hard encouraging people to make those changes. I think even that return scheme is going on, like,
which has now finally caught on. Yeah. I think now the figures are actually
like that took a wee while.
Yeah.
So it did, but it comes. So it does.
But is part of the problem? You see, we've progressed so much in recent decades, or even since, you know, the start of the last century, the Industrial Revolution, and we've become so used to all the conveniences of modern life. But that comes at a price. That, you know, single use plastic, or that, you know, hopping in the car to go places. You know, there's a cost to all of it, and I suppose we just need to sometimes stop and think: is there an alternative? Now, we mentioned transport there, and up in Donegal, it's pretty hard to find an alternative to transport. If you have a car, you're going to use it because it's hard to get around otherwise. But there are other ways. There's other, you know, conveniences. We can walk in the supermarket and we can look at something that's wrapped up nice and neatly in plastic, and we can look at something that's loose beside it and go, well, you know what, that's loose, that deserves to be considered, and pick that up. And other small decisions like that we can make on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I often say that we have become de-skilled. So we've gotten so used to the conveniences that we no longer know the old ways. Like the fact that I make soap, I'm not saying everybody should make soap, but that used to be a common thing where my parents grew up. And growing food. Having a kitchen garden was a common thing. But we are so used to convenience at the moment, or considering having to put any effort in on our part as an inconvenience, that we become de-skilled and we no longer know how easy it is to do these things.
But a lot of it is to do with the pace of life. Now, we all get caught up in it, in that, you know, far more households now where both parents are working and they're flat out and don't have time to be going out and planting tomatoes and lettuce.
See, fair enough. You might not be able to grow food, but once a year you make dish soap. It takes 20 minutes and I can make enough dish soap for the entire year.
And that will keep.
And that will keep indefinitely. Mm. So why wouldn't I do it that way?
Yeah. Eddie?
Well, I certainly agree with the importance of just those small measures and where you can do things around the home that'll make a big impact. Just in your point on Donegal being a rural county and people having to drive by car, I myself I cycle everywhere in Letterkenny. I don't take a car, and I live in Donegal, so. You know, there are alternatives available, but it doesn't mean I don't have a car. So if I have to go, you know, further than I can cycle, I take the car too. But on those short journeys, I go by bicycle. So, you know, a lot of the time I think it comes to the mindset. And this is what I found from promoting cycling, is that a lot of people just think, oh, well, cycling's something that you do in big cities or, you know, you do in larger towns. But you can do it in Letterkenny, and it's a fantastic way of reducing climate change, but it'll also contribute to reducing the traffic congestion in Letterkenny. Every day, I'm cycling past cars in the Port Road. they're going in slower than me, and I always know exactly how long it's going to take me to get around. And also the health benefits, both physical and mental. So,
but not everyone lives in Letterkenny, and this is a big county, and it's a big rural county. So I think the infrastructure has to catch up.
Absolutely.
We need to have more cycleways, greenways.
Absolutely.
Paths along each and every road, or any road that's been worked on or improved or whatever, you know, needs to have a cycleway and walkway included.
Absolutely.
It's safe.
And from the research that we've done and the national research too, infrastructure is the biggest barrier to people actually taking part in active travel, be that walking or cycling. So people need to feel that they're safe on the roads. So part of what our group is going to be doing is just making sure there's really ambitious plans in Letterkenny and in Donegal more widely to build that infrastructure. But we just have to make sure that they follow through with those plans, and that then we're encouraging people to get involved and actually cycle to get around and just make, you know, it might be one journey a week, it might just be once a year, but you just decide to make that choice to go into work or to go shopping by bike. I noticed that it's on the Tidy Towns. It's one of the things that they put on their list that you can do. One small thing you can do is just cycle to work.
Yeah. You know, you might just do it once a year, or you might decide, listen, I'm going to do it for, you know, the summer months or whatever.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you'd have seen Anne-Louise as well, you know, big changes in Letterkenny. And if we can make these changes to improve cycling Letterkenny, they can do it in any town because it's so hilly. And it's a bit of a traffic disaster at the moment. Hopefully that'll improve in the years to come. But for more people, cycling would be one way of improving the situation.
Absolutely. And I'm not a car owner, so, and I live in the town and I walk everywhere in the town, you know. So I think, you know, as well as cycling, I think walking around the town as well, you know, everything's so accessible, you know, in the town centre as well. And I think people just forget it. You know, it's easier to jump in your car and go from shopping centre to shopping centre, or, you know, and things like that. And it's actually, you know, from one end of the town to the other, it's 10 minutes, you know.
Yeah. And I suppose it's only when you do it once, whether it's on a bike or on foot, it's only when you do it once or twice that you realise, you know, this is doable. I don't need to take the car over there. I can just go over and do that and come back.
Yeah, but then again, it's habit, isn't it? It's getting people into the habit of doing it, and you know, you were saying about the convenience of it and stuff. And you know, this week as well, it's actually National Food Waste Recycling Week. So you were talking about the food and stuff. You know, and like one of the things that we did a survey last year on waste and litter, and one of the things then that sort of came out of that was that, you know, if you plan your food, you know what you're going to eat in the week. Mm-hmm. You're not going to buy excess shopping and stuff. And like, for some people, you could save up to €700 a year.
I know,
you know,
that's the average that the households waste every year in food.
Yeah.
And Miranda, you know, we're pushing an open door here because this is what you've been chatting about for years. The key, I think, one of the big keys is home freezing. Is that, you know, you make a big pot of something, uses today, and you freeze the rest and freeze it in batches.
You freeze it in batches, and there's a lot of alternative ways that we can approach cooking and consuming our food. So, for instance, we roast a chicken once a week, not to serve at dinner. It just stays in the fridge. And my family uses that for sandwiches, or if they're making a quick thing of pasta. There's just always some form of meat sitting in there. So I don't buy cold cuts. I don't buy things like that.
Amazing the saving you can make from just roasting a chicken. This is just one example. Just go out and buy a decent-sized chicken. Compare that then to what you're going to pay for
sliced ham for sandwiches.
Or just two breasts. Just two breasts of chicken. Mm-hmm. Compare the price of two breasts of chicken to buying a whole chicken, and you'll have so much more on the chicken.
Yes, it stretches. And then I can use chicken for other things. I can do the bones and make my stock. Like, there's so much you can do with it. And composting. So I teach a composting class.
Yeah.
And people don't realize how easy it is to do. People who aren't even gardeners. Just the idea that you can.
So we shouldn't be buying compost. We should make our own compost.
Not just that. It's better to make compost at home than to use your green bin.
Okay.
It's actually easier on the environment. Yeah. And it's better for biodiversity.
And I suppose we'd be surprised of what can go into a compost heap or a compost bin.
Yes.
That makes sense. Okay, a lot of good feedback coming in about Irish to Protect. I just want to say I really enjoyed Irish to Protect segment. Very informative. I really enjoyed it every Tuesday. This is somebody else. Irish to Protect, fantastic show, brilliant topics. And really enjoyed Irish to Protect. Found it really interesting. Well done, Donna Marie. There you are.
Aww,
great big pat on the back.
Well done, you.
And a pat on the back to you all. It's great work and it does all add up, and I suppose we all should be doing maybe a little bit more. And I would like to think that the segments that you did on Irish to Protect and pieces like this, that maybe, you know, others will be encouraged to do a little bit along the way as well. Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.